Welcome in to Backyard Catch. This is Nick Roby. Thanks for tuning in. Well, we had a full slate this past weekend of college football games. Everyone's played a game. All the offseason narratives, you can put those to the side. Here we go. We have some actual football to talk about. Talking season is officially over. We are here for some games. And of course, we start in Ohio, where Texas, the formerly number one team in the country, the Texas Longhorns, had traveled to Ohio State in Lee Corso's last broadcast for College Game Day, where the Buckeyes, the reigning national champs, they win in what turned out to be a defensive battle, 14-7 against the Texas Longhorns. I think a big narrative that's come out of this is that a lot of people wanted to see Arch Manning. Of course, he started a couple games last year, but people wanted to see what he was going to be like. Is it like he's the full starter? He's the guy. Someone picked him to be the Heisman. You know, of course, he's the nephew of Peyton and Eli, you know, grandson of Archie, like all these different things, has this pedigree, has waited a couple years. It's kind of, it's a little bit of a, not a mystery, but just we don't know as much as we typically would know about, you know, some other quarterbacks coming in on the circuits and, you know, just with the recruiting and everything these days. So it was interesting. Of course, I mean, it's also like, hey, you're the full-time starter now. So your first, like he started a game, like a couple games when Ewers got hurt last year. Competition not nearly what it is going to Ohio State. So it's like, hey, you know, why don't you go play the team that won the national title last year in their place? You know, Lee Corso's last broadcast for game day, a lot of hype around this game, you know, with your last name on your jersey, your number one team in the country, you know, facing a defensive, you know, a defensive coordinator, you know, who coached for Bill Belichick. Like, have fun with that. You know, like, I think in retrospect, it's interesting to think about, because we don't know. Like, we don't know. We know some things. We want to see it on the field. So I thought there would be a little more offense, but in some ways you could see it kind of playing out in this scenario, you know, so I wasn't quite sure. Ohio State had lost some pieces for sure. And I think that's what, for me, that's what I was trying to figure out and very curious to watch in this game was just how much pieces were lost on each side. That's why I thought there were arguments for like maybe five or even six teams that could have been the number one team in the country. Texas had gotten it, ended up being a defensive battle. And for me in this game, I mean, Arch did not play the best. I think he was fine. He was average. It was, you know, if he had a different last name, we wouldn't be talking about it as much. You know, if it was a different last name, you know, threw for like 170 something yards. They had the one touchdown, threw a pick where he forced it a little bit. But I think more credit needs to be given to Ohio State and the scheme that they had, the defense that they had. They got more pressure. Texas did not have, you know, I mean, they had some of a run game, but I think the biggest thing was that I think more credit needs to be given to Ohio State, where they got a couple stops in the red zone and stopped Texas from scoring. And, you know, like Sain played fine too, Julian Sain. But I think that was the bigger story for me, was just I was impressed with Ohio State and like the team defense that they played versus, like all these knocks against Arch and stuff and Texas. I mean, would I have liked to seen, you know, some more scoring from Texas? For sure. They will have more opportunities. It will make it interesting. I think they play Florida in a couple weeks, but like they'll have to fix it pretty quickly. But it's a long season. I think it's just also good for college football to have these types of games. I think it's fun. It makes a lot of good stories, a lot of interest, you know, for the game. I just think it was a tough one for a first full-time starter on the road. And if he didn't have his last name, we wouldn't be talking about it as much. I also think too, like what Caleb Downs and like he could play is that there weren't as many options like with the football. I think that's the thing too, is there weren't as many options where he could go. And I think they did a good job of with pressures. And that's why he threw the one interception, because he was forcing the ball. But still at the same time, you know, they got stopped in the red zone, like within the 5 yard line a couple times. And if they score, like it's a tie ball game, it's overtime. Who knows after that? So I think Saiyan did a good job, and I think he managed it, you know, pretty well. But it's a first week game, you know, and I think that's my takeaway from that. But definitely can be impressed with Ohio State. Another, you know, the other big top 10 matchup was LSU and Clemson, and that also ended up being more of a low-scoring game. I think for me, when I came away from that game, I had picked Clemson to win just from the home factor, and I thought there would be more opportunities offensively than they had. Was that I think LSU just made a few less mistakes than Clemson and were able to capitalize on it. I think Clemson shot themselves in the foot a little bit. They missed some reads that were there. LSU did a good job pressure-wise. They sped up Cade, sped up his decision-making. And when Clemson kind of abandoned the run game, like they had a little bit of some. That's where they got the one touchdown. But they abandoned it in the second half. I mean, Adam Randall, the converted wide receiver, now running back, they only ran him one time in the second half. And I think only 15 times altogether for 31 yards. So when you kind of abandon that and you make them one-dimensional, Antonio Williams goes down for Clemson. But, I mean, they have lots of receivers. They missed some plays. He missed some reads. I think there's just a lot of first-week things that happen. You know, there's a controversial touchdown that can take win or not. Letter of the law, like, it, you know, you can see why they ruled that way because letter of the law, you can make that argument, and it seemed like that wasn't a catch. Did it feel like a catch in the moment? I think you could definitely make that argument for sure. And so we get into a whole other discussion of that. You know, to me personally, I think if it's the way the rule book is written, you have to call it that way. But at the same time, did it feel like a catch live? Yes, it did. You know, so I see both sides of it. I know people want to have a lot of hot takes these day and age. I think for me, I can see both sides of it. You know, it was also an SEC crew. So, I mean, I also think you go there and say, hey, I mean, it was their conference's crew and that's how they called it. So, I mean, it was good for Brian Kelly to get that monkey off his back per se and get a road win, at a tough Clemson environment, tough place to play. LSU gets to knock off that first week whole thing. I definitely could see these teams replaying each other again. But this idea that, like, I mean, LSU was the better team. Like, that, don't hear what I'm not saying. LSU was the better team that night. The fact that they, like, completely, like, dominated and completely Clemson was right in this game, you know? There was a third down play where Tyler Brown is open across the middle. He scores that touchdown. It's a tie ball game. Clemson had made the field goal ahead of time. They take the lead late. Of course, then I know LSU fans will be like, we would have scored. There's a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas. My point is being is that it was a one possession game. And that's what you want in these type of week one big season matchups. But the whole thing about like who dominated whom, I think both teams were right in it. I was impressed with Nussmeier. But Clemson has a long season to go as well. And I think these teams could definitely see each other later in the season. I think it was just more of credit to LSU and their game plan, and their defense is better. I think that then they got credit for in the offseason versus like knocking, you know what I mean? I think just there's credit and there's definitely, but I'll say on the LSU side, there's things that they would need to clean up as well and some things they missed. And that's what a week one game will do for you, you know? So, but there, I mean, I think LSU was the better team that night. Other games wanting to talk about, I think the other big one that, I mean, we'd be remiss if we didn't, was just the domination of Florida State over number 8 Alabama, 31-17. Tommy Castellanos, the transfer who was at UCF with Gus Mills on, transfers to Boston College. He and Bill O'Brien go their separate ways. Gus Malzahn becomes the OC at Florida State. And I think they just had a great game plan for Alabama. Alabama, new quarterback, new thing coming. It was more of like I wasn't for a team to run up and down the field on Alabama. I think I was just more surprised at that. But at the same time, I think credit has to be given to Florida State. They were very impressive in this game, especially after the year that they had last year, lots of transfers. So if Florida State can really be like a top 25 team And it gives such a huge boost to the ACC as a conference because you have them, you have SMU, you have Miami, you have Clemson, you have Louisville, Georgia Tech. I mean, you start adding some more teams and it makes them much more of a multi-bid league than I think even people were anticipating. They can even get up to, like, you know, we're talking like three teams in the playoff. But at the same time, I don't. Some people like to really get into all the playoff talk. I think I want to enjoy the regular season too and just enjoy it. Like, just a fun game. I mean, I think it's good for college football and to have those environments and just enjoy the Saturday. So I was just impressed by that. And frankly, there's going to be a lot of questions for Alabama coming into this. But at the same time, like, there's a lot of new things. And so I think what I'm most curious about is how is Alabama going to respond to this? There's, like, it can go two big different directions. And Florida State can even attest to this. Like, when it goes wrong, it can go wrong. Like, there's not like this, like, floor of, like, we're automatically guaranteed to win nine games just because we're Alabama, just because we're Florida State. You could not go to a bowl game if your intensity is not there. Like, they need to bring it. At the same time, though, like, it's a week one game and there's a lot that can be fixed and changed and move forward, but there definitely needs to be some urgency there. And Florida State also has to be aware because, I mean, you don't want to make this your Super Bowl and then you go in and then you lose to somebody who you shouldn't lose to, you know? So I think a lot of things can happen from this, but as we kind of transition into, like, what will be, like, going forward from these sorts of things, it will be that the week one's not the end all be all. I think when you take a whole pie of, like, in the off season, like, this is kind of like just my big picture kind of idea is that, you know, say in the off season, you have 100% of just off season narratives that you're, like, processing and thinking of last year, who's coming back, who is returning to production, who, you know, what are people's schedules looks like and all these sorts of different things. So they say that's 100% of a pie. Well, week one, you have a big chunk that you're like, okay, we have to factor in week one. But it doesn't mean, like, everything completely changes. But at the same time, you have to be very okay with that. I can make predictions or I have thoughts and I can really rethink things, but it doesn't mean I have to throw everything out. You know what I mean? It's just how much of a balancing of the pie are you factoring in, like, a week one. But once you get into, like, week four, week five, week six, I mean, that is really, like, that becomes a little bit more of who the team is versus who we had in the offseason. So that's that game, I think, questions, and I think that will be interesting to see. And I think, honestly, for the SEC, it was kind of good that LSU actually won, because if they don't win, like, the teams have played anyone of, like, a power four consequence, like, all their teams would have lost, you know. Because, like, Georgia's and Ole Miss's, I'm sorry, Tennessee. I did forget that for a moment. Tennessee did play Syracuse, but I was expecting that. They played pretty well. What I mean is just like that when you look at the odds of who would win the conference. But I thought Tennessee played well. Speaking of them, I thought they played well. I liked their offense. I think that they played a little bit. They scored more than I was expecting, you know, for sure. South Carolina looked pretty decent in a week one win on the Sunday one of the Sunday standalone games. I think Virginia Tech hung around a little longer than I was expecting to. So I don't want to, like, draw too many conclusions from it, but at the same time, it was a good win. It was a good win. And now they're a top 10 team. So, you know, we have that. We also have whatever that debacle was, from North Carolina and TCU. I think North Carolina has a lot of questions themselves. And then the other big one you want to make sure you mention is Miami. Miami got a good win against a Notre Dame team who made the national title game last year. New quarterback and new pieces, but they have Jeremiah Love. Carson Beck, the Carson Beck era started off with a win, which was impressive. I mean, if Carson Beck has some receivers that are able to catch the ball like that, I mean, watch out. I mean, Miami's another team, you know, in the ACC. So, to me, that was a good win for them. I think that they, for them accomplishing what they wanted to, that was a win you want to have, like, on your resume at home being a Notre Dame team, because they don't always win those games. And I think that was important for them and good for them. But now we'll see as we continue to go. But I was impressed with Miami and that their defense like held when they were an Achilles heel last year, late in the season, when they ended up not going to the championship game and not the ACC championship and getting knocked out of the playoff because their defense let them down late in the year. Now, again, I think they don't leave the state of Florida for like a while in the season. And then they go on the road in November to some cold weather cities again. So, I mean, we'll see, but it started off pretty well. But yeah, that was pretty big after that. I think there's a lot of still questions that want to be answered as we head into week two, and we'll get into that. But yeah, there you have it. I appreciate you listening. Thanks for tuning in. Remember to like and subscribe to the video on YouTube. It helps me out, and wherever you get your podcasts. Super fun. So there you have it. A little quick breakdown from week one action. We'll be back later this week to preview some week two matchups. Thanks for listening.